Testing 1, 2. Great day, everyone, and welcome to our podcast as we finalize and complete the series on the science of goal setting, specifically why smart goal setting is dumb. Now, we've spent the previous 4 to 5 podcasts referring to the fact that setting goals based upon the smart goal setting system is setting goals for the lowest common denominator, is setting goals saying that we already know how to accomplish our goals. And I ask you to think deeply. If you already know how to accomplish a goal, is it a goal worthy of you? Is it a goal worthy of your team? The power of goal setting should be that you take the opportunity to stretch, to reach out, to do more, to be more. That is the power of goal setting, and that's why the science of goal setting is here, and that's in part the reason why I say smart goal setting is dumb. The other reasons we say smart goal setting is dumb, that is because A, in the smart goal setting process stands for achievable, in alignment with, or agreed to. My question I ask every one of you is, who can tell you what is achievable for you? And I know a lot of you will say, well, only I can say that to myself. I challenge you on that assumption because you do not know what is achievable for you. So how can anyone else tell you what's achievable for you? You cannot tell your team what's achievable for each member of the team. Sometimes you have to challenge yourself and push yourself further than what you thought was possible. And that's why setting the smart goal setting is really setting goals for the lowest common denominator. Are realistic, reachable, relevant? No one can tell you what's realistic for you to do. No one can tell you what's reachable for you to do. Okay. The A and the R are the biggest challenges to the smart goal setting, but T, time, is also a problem. S, sometimes is okay, as long as you are very specific, and we worked on being very specific in a couple of our podcasts earlier. So if you haven't listened to those, I challenge you to go forth and listen to those again so you can understand how specific it has to be. The specificness has to be the why. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you setting the goals? The last podcast, then we'll start looking at some of the process. Why we're doing these goals. Why do we want to be something, do something, or have something? This all has to be written out, and you have to understand the why. That's going to create a very specific goal for you. Why are you doing this? Then we started the process by looking at the be first off. Be what you're going to be. You're that now, so be that. If you want to be a doctor or a healer of people, be a healer of people now. What you want to have off of that becoming a doctor is a degree, the piece of paper that says I am a doctor. So you want to have that, but you can be a healer of people now. You want to be a great entrepreneur? Be that now. Because you can always be more than what you have been. But it's the be that is driving the do and the have. It is the be that is driving the do and the have. You're being something, the doing and having comes easier. So if you recall, we say, okay, what is it that you want to be? The day before that becomes obvious to the rest of the world, what has to happen? What has to happen the day before it becomes obvious to the rest of the world? How do you feel? What actions do you have to take? And then we want to write that all down. Then we want to look at the next step. And the next step is to say, what has to happen the day of the world is now aware of what you want to be? What do you have to do that day? Write that all down. But more importantly, on that day, write down how you feel. What do you feel like on that day? Okay. Now, those are the first 2 steps. Then we're going to go back to the very beginning. What do you have to do tomorrow or this evening? Or as soon as you finish listening to this podcast, to be what you want to be now. What actions do you have to take now? How do you have to feel now? And that will help clarify the be. Remember we said do the top three. So, real quick on that top three, remember we said we got to brainstorm. It wasn't the time to edit this information. You're just going to brainstorm everything you possibly could want to be. You can spend the next 15 to 30 minutes on that. Being everything that you possibly want to be, you want to write it down. After you finish that, take about a 10-minute break, and then write down the do. What's everything you want to do? Write that down. Then 15-minute break after you spend 15 to 30 minutes on the doing. Then the having, the have. What is it that you want to have? You're listing these things down. You're doing bullet points. You're not doing paragraphs. You're not editing. You're just writing the things you have. And you have to write them from the viewpoint of, if I don't get it down on this piece of paper now, I can never have it. That's the viewpoint that you got to take when you're doing this exercise. 10 to 15 minutes of each of those. Or if you need longer, take longer. So we have the B, we're looking at the top three. We have the do, we're looking at that. And we have the have, we're looking at that. In each case, you started out by writing what it is that you have to do the day before you do it. What is it you have to have the day before you have it? What is it you have to do the day of? And what is it you have the day of? What actions do you have to take? Same things we did for the B. What actions do you have to take? How do you feel? How do you feel? Then backing it all the way back up to the tomorrow or tonight or right now, what do you have to do or be or have right now in order to make those goals come out? What do you have to do, be, or have? Now, I want to talk to you about this process a little bit so you can truly understand the goal-setting process. And I love to use the analogy of the space shuttle. The space shuttle at one time was the most complicated piece of machinery ever built. Now, if you come to one of my workshops, you realize that I'm kind of a geeky person. And I study and I learn things that I probably shouldn't even be wasting time on, but I just tend to learn things. So I know a lot about the space shuttle. In fact, I've forgotten a lot about the space shuttle as well. But here's one thing I know about the space shuttle. It was designed to mimic the human body. When they looked at all the designs of it and put it all together, said the best way to make this space shuttle work is to do as much as we can so it follows what human beings do. From simple things like waste extraction. When those engines come on, have you ever noticed how the smoke and the fire funnel away from the space shuttle? There's no mechanical process. What they did, they figured out how human beings remove waste from their body, and they duplicated that. All that smoke, all that fire is moving away from the space shuttle. It doesn't sit there. It moves away. It channels itself away. Everything about the space shuttle was an attempt to mimic the human body. And that's what makes it so complex and so difficult. But let's talk about this in just separate parts. See, they have the solid rocket boosters on the side, and then they have the external tank. The external tank is where the vast majority of the fuel sits. And the solid rocket boosters is what's used to help get the space shuttle flying. The fuel in both of those is what you can call clarity for yourself. See, if you complete the process we gave you earlier, you'll have the fuel, you'll have the clarity to move forward in your goal setting. That's why it's so essential that you understand the why. You understand what it is you want, because that is your fuel. That's what's going to power you through the tough times, through the dangerous times, through the fun times, through the times you want to just lay back. That is your fuel. So really, once again, make sure you've completed the be, the do, the have part of this exercise. So you can have that take place. Now, there's one thing I want to discuss with you, though. This goal-setting apparatus that we're setting up here. Oftentimes, we will go to a goal-setting workshop and we'll let it everybody in the room know what our goals are, because we call it, we're going to just broadcast it. We're going to just state emphatically, this is our goals and we're going to achieve it. I'm going to suggest that this does not happen for you. Here's a couple reasons why. Your power does not lie from external sources. Your power lies from internal sources. You. That's where your power lies in. When you sit down and start telling everybody what your goals are, you're either doing it, number one, for their approval, or number two, to let them know how great you are. Your goals must stay inside. It must be a silent procedure for a lot of different reasons. If you really think about the reasons behind this, if I'm telling everybody my goals, that tends to diffuse my power, tends to allow people to ridicule me. I had a lady named Jessica went through one of our workshops, and she heard this part of the speech about keeping your goals silent into yourself, but yet she decided she needed to have that accountability partner. So she went to her best friend and said, "Hey, will you be my accountability partner?" And she explained her goals to her. Now, she stated in hindsight that, you know, as soon as I did what my goals, said what my goals were to her, I felt bad. I started to feel something wasn't quite right. So, but anyway, it was done. Now let's talk about this accountability partner. Your accountability partners are there for the steps. They're not there for the overall goal. Let's say you want to build an $8 million company. You don't have an accountability partner to build the $8 million company. You have an accountability partner that will help you verify the steps along the way. Are you making enough phone calls? Are you contacting enough people? Are you doing the paperwork? Are you keeping up on your taxes? Those type of issues. That's what your accountability partner is for. Your accountability partner is not to make sure that you make your $8 million goal. So therefore, you don't need to tell them that. That one you're going to hold inside. Anyway, back to Jessica. She told her accountability partner all this. And her accountability partner, unbeknownst to Jessica, started talking about it to other people. About a month after the workshop, the lady that Jessica disliked the most on this planet, one of her former friends approached her and said, "Oh, I heard about that goal that you set up in that workshop that you went to. Aren't those workshops wonderful? Don't they just get you all motivated to do things you can't do? Isn't that just great? You set a goal that high and that hard, and makes you really work. So if you fall short, you know, it'll be okay because you won't be that far from it. What a wonderful goal you set." Now, at this point, Jessica said it really hurt her. She really felt the pain of that statement. Not so much that her person that she was speaking with said it, because she didn't care about that person, didn't have a whole lot of respect for that person. Not so much that she said it, but that the fact that it was told to her by the word of mouth chain. And now her business is out there for everybody to look at. Now this person was saying it to hurt Jessica, so she wanted to keep Jessica in her place, so to say. And that's a very hurtful thing. Well, the story goes on a little bit further, though, because that same day it so happens that she was supposed to have dinner with her parents. And you know how mothers are. Mothers can spot a problem 10,000 miles away. So she's at dinner. Mother's preparing the dinner. And her mother says to her, "Jessica, what's wrong?" And so Jessica said, "Well, you know, Sally, I told Sally something in conference about a workshop I went to. And she went and told everybody else about it. And just kind of makes me feel bad." Her mother looked at her and said, "Oh, well, what type of workshop was it? What was said?" Jessica said, "Well, you know, it was a goal-setting workshop, and I just shared my dream, my goal-setting, and got back around, and I don't feel good about it." Jessica's mother, "Well, Jessica, what was a dream? What was a goal?" Without thinking, Jessica told her. Her mother, in her very loving way, said, "Wow, that's a pretty tough goal. What is your fallback plan?" Immediately, the dreams, the desires, the goals became getting filtered through someone else's perspective. Through someone who loved her, who had no intention of hurting her, but did not want her to get hurt, so wanted to protect her fall. And said, "What is the secondary plan that you have?" Did not want to go through this. So this idea of keeping your goals within protects you from all things. You know, the space shuttle, when it's getting ready to take off, it is so loud that it can possibly shake itself apart. I want you to begin to think of yourself in that same way. If you're loud and boisterous, you can start to shake yourself apart. You know, 12 seconds prior to launch of the space shuttle, they released 300,000 gallons of water toward the space shuttle. Now, this water is being released toward the space shuttle for one thing and one thing only, to quiet the noise of the space shuttle. They release it through a system called the Rainbirds, and the Rainbirds are designed to make sure the space shuttle remains as quiet as possible so it doesn't shake itself apart on the runway. I'll ask you to consider that same thing. Make sure that you don't shake yourself apart on the runway. on the launch pad. Keep it quiet. But those of you who have ever watched this space shuttle launch on television, you might have noticed how they show about 10 seconds prior to the ignition, a set of what I call sparklers going off. Like the 4th of July sparklers, you know, you used to hold in your hand and play as a kid. It looks the same way. They start shooting these sparklers underneath the space shuttle with the design and the purpose to be to burn off all the gases that build up around there. In other words, burn off all the hot air that's built up around that. For they ignite those engines with all that hot air around there, it explodes. Here comes a caution. You want to burn away the gases, the hot air, from the CNNP. You want to burn that away. Because you can't afford to have that there when it comes time for you to ignite your engines and go. You will explode. CNNP. Constant negative news and people. Ladies and gentlemen, stop watching the news. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have negative people in your life, stop paying attention to what they're going to say. They're going to say it anyway, but you can stop paying attention. Avoid the constant and negative news. Burn it off. It helps me sometimes just to visualize when someone's talking nonsense. I go to class or I have a class and people are talking, and they're just talking nonsense. It helps me just to see those sparklers burning off what they said. I don't need that hot air underneath my engines when they start. You don't need that hot air underneath your engines. That's the power of all this. Now, here's something you should be aware of. 6.2 to 6.4 seconds prior to the launch of the space shuttle. See, I told you I was a little bit of a geek. 6.2 to 6.4 just depends on how much weight the space shuttle is carrying that for that mission. The main engines come on. Now, when those main engines come on, they're starting to work the way up to full power. That full power, the time that it's working its way up to full power, is a stressful time. Oftentimes, a lot of the astronauts who've flown on the space shuttle said that is the longest 6 seconds they've ever spent. Because the engines are coming on, the vibration of the space shuttle is starting to come on, everything's building up, and they're not going anyplace. Things are just building. Ladies and gentlemen, that is how your goals are going to get started. You got some time as your engines rev up. By the way, a lot of the time as the engines revving up is doing the work from the previous podcast, doing the beat. Doing and having exercise. That's those engines revving up, coming up to full speed. Because here's something else that happens in the space shuttle. Because as it's coming up to full speed, that space shuttle begins to lean. If you ever watch it carefully, you can see the whole stack is starts to lean forward. Just like when you walk, you lean. Just like when you run, you lean. But your body's capable of pulling you back so you don't fall. It's a mechanical process. As those engines are revving up, the space shuttle begins to lean forward. Those astronauts can feel that. It's leaning forward. It's almost getting out of balance. Just like when you walk, you're almost getting out of balance. If you walk slow enough, throw that leg up in front of it, and you just try to hold it, you'll fall out of balance, and you put that leg down to get balance. If you're running, you go slow enough as you build up momentum, you will find yourself out of balance, and you'll throw a leg down. Well, the space shuttle doesn't have a leg to throw down. Your goals do not have a leg to throw down. You have to be aware that you're going to have to lean into this process. You're going to have to lean into the process, and that's all there is to it. It's going to be uncomfortable as you start to rev up. Okay. But then, what's amazing, as that space shuttle hits full power, it just settles back. Ladies and gentlemen, when you become comfortable with the goals you laid out and you've decided you're going to go for it, let me clean that up because it's not going to feel comfortable with the goals you laid out until you are in orbit. But when you decide it and you're comfortable with going for it, that's when you're going to lean back and settle. In that split second you lean back and settle, you're at full power, the solid rocket boosters will ignite, and you're off and going. It's time for you to roll. You're moving. Now, the power of those solid rocket boosters are strong. But just like in nature, when your solid rocket boosters come on, it's going to be a little bit of a delay before others start to see that. Because when those solid rocket boosters come on, you know, it can't be any closer than 7 miles to the space shuttle when it takes off. But when that sound reaches you, it'll almost knock you off your feet. If you're not comfortable, if you're not standing strong, it will knock you off your feet. You have to understand that as you start to move away from people and start accelerating your goals, you're going to have difficulties that will try to knock you off your feet. And they're man-made difficulties. Your made difficulties. It's going to be something, some things that you're just not really aware of. But you're going to be aware of that you're moving forward now. You can be aware of that. Now, as that space shuttle clears the tower and first gets moving, if you notice, it rotates. Now, it says it's rotating to help get the orientation for orbit. Because sitting on the ground, you can't get that orientation, so they have to rotate it so they can get the orientation for orbit. In other words, they want to change the view. Change the view of the astronauts in the space shuttle so they now can see themselves on the trajectory toward orbit. Okay? You need to change your view. Their view is for orbit, and so should yours be. Your view cannot be looking back. Your view cannot be looking back at the effects that you're having on other people, what they're saying to you. You have to have your view on your goal. That's where your view has to be. And that's why you're going to rotate. And as you rotate, those who want to come along will, those who don't, won't. Go ahead and allow yourself to rotate, to change that view, and put your focus on your goals and have nothing else in the way. This is what I'm going to do. You're going to focus on that. Focus on that as you rotate. Now, you made that rotation, you have your views, but things are not always easy. In fact, things are like it is in nature. As you start to gain speed and to accelerate, that space shuttle itself throttles back down some because there's too much pressure in the cabin on the astronauts. You oftentimes can hear them moaning and groaning in pain because there's so much pressure on them as the space shuttle is accelerating. Just like there'll be so much pressure on you to come back and be what you used to be. To come back and join the rest of the people who are looking at you, who are not growing with you. That pressure on them is equal to that pressure on you. So you have to throttle back a little bit. Now, when they're throttling back, they're just riding it out. They're just riding it out until they have increased enough speed and released some of that pressure. There's some great shots of the video, some great video shots of the space shuttle as it goes through this pressure zone. Sometimes when the atmosphere is in the correct configuration, you can see the cone that develops over the space shuttle, and you can see and hear the pressure these astronauts are feeling. And this is the same pressure you're going to feel from some of your friends, some of your family, and some of the people who you don't like anyway. You're going to feel that pressure. Throttle back, though. Still not the time for you to look back, but it is the time for you to check in with yourself. It is the time for you to check in with yourself. Realize it's uncomfortable, it's painful, and it's time to keep on pushing. And then the space shuttle makes the call for throttle up. You're going to make the call for throttle up. After you checked in with yourself, make sure this is what you really want to do and you're going to push more, then throttle back up. As with the space shuttle, this is the only time where something can truly go past 100%. Now, we hear people saying all the time, I'm going to give 110%. They can't. But because of the height and the lack of pressure and the altitude, the space shuttle goes to 104% of rated performance. You're going to go to 104% of rated performance by everyone else's standards and by yours because you don't know what you're capable of. You don't know what you can achieve. So you're going to go well behind that, well beyond that. You're going to go well beyond that. You're going to feel the pressure, and when you go back to full throttles, go a throttle up, when you go there, you're going to go beyond that 100%, but quickly, because it's you, that 100% will drop back to 100%, 100%. Space shuttle goes 100, will reach 104% of full power, but it quickly drops back to 100%, because once you're at 100, you can't really go past that. You can go past that, but you settle back into the 104%. Do you follow what I'm saying? You're going to go past that, but once you go past that, you're used to it, and you're going to settle back into being 100%. But then all of a sudden, because you're 100% and you're going higher and faster, you're going to rate back up. Settle back. Settle back. This is the power of goal setting. And when you start setting goals that are not dumb goals, you start setting goals that are difficult. See, John F. Kennedy set the goal for us to land on the moon. And he said, I'm not setting it because it's easy, but I'm setting it because it's difficult and it's what we're worthy of. I ask you right now, for those of you who have already done the assignment, your be, your do, and your have, are they difficult and are you worthy of them? If they're easy, they're unworthy of your skills. If they're hard, they're worthy of your skills. They're worthy of your mindset. You're going to go through this, and it's in a very short period of time, relatively speaking, that you can start reaching your goals. But there will come a point in your goals where you'll say, negative return. They get to the point where they tell the space shuttle, negative return, you are not coming back here. When it's time for you to land, you're not coming back here now. You're going to go into orbit. You're going to tell yourself, negative return. I am not going back here. There's no way I can go back there. I'm already past that. I will never be satisfied and comfortable going back there. Gentleman who went through our workshop, he's also had the same thought going, same pattern going in a lot of different things. And he had written down one of his goals was that he wanted to have a 5-star breakfast. Now, he had a friend he told this to. And her comment was, because she was working in a restaurant, her comment was, oh, well, you know, bacon and eggs are the same every place you go. What can they do to make it 5-star? Well, okay, yes, that was bothersome, but he had already ignited his rockets. He was already on his way when he said that. And here was an amazing thing. What he wrote down as to what happens has to happen the day of was almost exactly what happened the day of him going to have his first 5-star breakfast. See, he said that he got up. When he got up, he realized this was a perfectly clean room, which he normally didn't have his room clean. Normally his room was cluttered. But he also realized when he was building his goals that he's got to get rid of the clutter in his life. So his room now was completely clutter-free. That clutter, clearing the clutter, leads to the vacuum law. Clear the space and more will come in. Create a vacuum, more will come in. So that's exactly what he did. But that particular morning when he woke up, he was able to look around the room and his bed was still pretty well made, even though he slept in it. All he had to do was just get up and start his day. He had his morning ritual in place and he just started his day knowing full well that he was going to go to the Ritz-Carlton this morning and have his first ever 5-star breakfast. Felt that he could finally afford that without it being a stress. That's what his game plan was. I remember getting in the car and thinking to himself in the car, well, what's going to be the difference between this breakfast and my normal $2.99 Denny's breakfast? Okay. He gets to the 5-star restaurant. He knew immediately, right away, it was going to be different. Because before he could even turn the corner to walk into the hostess, he could smell the fresh baked breads and muffins and pastries. You could smell them. And it was not a better, richer smell that he ever thought of. But he also happened to glance down at the floor. The floor was shiny, sparkling, pristine. So clean and so pristine, he thought to himself, I could probably eat off this floor. Greeted by the hostess. Gave him a very pleasant greeting. Got him to his table of choice. Even though they were busy, he was still at his table of choice. And before he could even sit down and get his chair adjusted and get his napkin set, someone showed up with a variety of teas and coffees for him to choose from. Now, he called himself a coffee connoisseur, so he thought he knew what good coffee was. So he told the attendant, "They're just pour the best coffee you have that you think is the best coffee." His statement. Never had I had a better cup of Colombian coffee ever. More deeper, more rich, hotter in any type of restaurant. Norman puts cream and sugar in and said he wasn't going to spoil it with cream and sugar. This is what he wrote down. This is what was happening when it came to it. He goes on in more detail about this because what he wrote down in very much the detail was almost exactly what happened. almost exactly what happened the day of. So surprised. But here was a miracle about all this, what he thought was a miracle. It happened 6 months before he planned it to happen. That is where you get in trouble when you use a smart goal setting and set a T for timeline, because you set a T for the timeline. That's when your psychological mind says, okay, I'm going to have it happen that day. But if you don't set that T, you have a good shot of it happening way before then. You have a shot of it happening way before then. Sometimes you need the time, so I'm not saying don't ever set the time, but I'm saying sometimes the time should not be there. You should just do the steps to make it happen. It happened way before that happened. Way before his time came due, it happened way before then. Don't limit yourself by saying, okay, I want this to happen in 6 months, and then 5 months and 28 days before after that it happens. Just put yourself on the moon now. Briefly mentioned this law about creating a vacuum. Here's what I want you to do. Here's the first thing I want you to do after you finish the clarity exercise. I want you to go to your closet, and I want you to empty it. I want you to take everything out of your closet. Everything out. Get your wash towel. Get you a duster. Everything you need to do, and clean the closet completely with nothing in it. And then I want you to put everything back in only if it speaks to you and if you've used it in the last 3 months. For sure, your closet should come 50% more open. 50% of the stuff in that closet at the bare minimum should not be used. 50%. And if you have more than 50% in there, then I want you to go through it again. Yes, here comes the hard part though. After you've gone through there and you only have the things in that you need, you've simplified, you've decluttered. Okay? I used to have a closet full of about 60 shirts. Boy, it was hard to go through those shirts. I said, well, I haven't worn that one in a long time, but I like that because it's got that patch on it. I like this. It took a long time to go through that. Okay? You know, I didn't throw away my computers. I have 7 or 8 computers up in the closet. I'm not using them. Why don't I just do what's necessary and donate them someplace? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take everything that's not back in your closet that you either haven't worn in the last 3 months or doesn't speak to you. Now, if you live in my climate, you have seasonal clothes, you have summer clothes, and you have winter clothes. Okay, those winter clothes, that's a whole other story. So you're going to separate the winter clothes out, and you're going to deal with that later on. But you're taking care of the clothes you're going to wear for the next 6 months. So if you're in summer season, you're talking about your summer clothes. When you get to winter season, you talk about your winter clothes. You can do them all at the same time if you want to, or you can divide them up. I just want you to do this process. I want you to create a vacuum. Because once you create a vacuum in your environment, in your life, nature has no choice but to fill it with something else. And if you have your mind set correctly, if you have set up some goals that have meaning for you, that you know why you have these goals, if you know why you have these goals, nature will fill it for you. You only have 2 suits you like to wear? But you haven't worn one in 6 months, I'm sorry, it doesn't go back in the closet. Okay? I'm sorry, it doesn't go back in the closet. Allow nature to fulfill and fill all your dreams and desires. That is a critical exercise for you, a very critical exercise for you. Do this and do it as soon as you finish getting your clarity, as soon as you finish your whys. Hard part now is to pack it all up that day and take it to the Goodwill. Or to any center that people need help, and release it. Don't pack it up and hold it for 2 weeks. Say, okay, I'll get there. No, put it in your car now and take it to release it. And release it. And then watch nature fill that void. Watch nature fill that void. Just those two exercises alone can make a huge difference. So a quick recap. Get you some clarity. Be, do, have, and know why. And then know the actions you have to have on the day before, the day of, and the first day. And then fill in the blanks. Maybe you need to have an action report every week. Now, by the way, if you're going to have a clear accountability partner, it's those actions every week that your accountability partner will help you with. That's what your accountability partner should be there for. Okay, so fill up your fuel tank with that clarity. And then make sure you practice CNNP. Avoid the constant negative news and people. Turn off the news. In fact, let me give you another quick challenge. For the next 15 days, if you're listening to the news, listen to none. Okay? No news. In fact, when it's news time, put some music on there. I guarantee you, you will know what you need to know in the news. I guarantee you, you will do no better by listening to the debates or by listening to the latest shootings than not. Avoid the negative news and people. You have friends who are going to be negative with you. If you can't avoid them, burn the sparklers in your head as they're talking. See if that makes a difference. Create the vacuum. Do that. That's powerful goal setting. That's what's going to make the difference for you. And I'm going to suggest you do that because you have to understand this. When that space shuttle's on the pad, getting ready to launch and go, that leaning process we talked about, the process you got to lean. If you tried that right now yourself, if you tried to lean to the point where you almost fell, you have to understand your body's going to either let you catch your balance or it's going to throw you back. When it throws you back, that's that space shuttle. When you set your goals, you're going to lean into the process. And then, as you settle back down, go. Ladies and gentlemen, the science of goal setting, in part why smart goal setting is dumb, and why I'm going to suggest for yourself, for your team, if you want to set a goal that's going to change humanity, that is worthy of you, this is what you need to do. Thank you very much.